Good morning. It's really good to see the room so full this morning and so vibrant this morning. It's really great. A few weeks ago, Rob Southern, he is here this morning somewhere. I don't know if he's in the room. Oh, he's just running around. Yeah, Rob shared a reference to the Lord's Prayer on the Wednesday morning prayer group, WhatsApp chat group that it's. And it was, for me, just one of those moments that get you thinking about things that you already know. And I hope that some of what I have to say this morning will be a moment like that for you too. Rob's running around. Rob just quoted an opening section of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, 9 to 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just keep this in mind as I share with you this morning. I just want to make sure that these are working properly. Good. Lighthouse has supported the Abomeo Butcher Center well over the years. Both collectively, you as a group, a portion of your giving here is tithed, and along with a few other projects in town, the Abomeo Butcher Center receives a portion of their giving from the church out into the city. We receive a portion of the missions funding budget every year as well, and many of you as individuals also support our project in your personal capacity. But throwing money at problems doesn't solve a problem. Throwing the right people, the right materials, the right resources, the right coordinated programs is what solves a problem. But you do need to have money to pay for those right people, those resources, programs that you are throwing at the problem. Funding is an indispensable factor of any mission or outreach work. In rand terms, it costs the Abomeo Butcher Centre about 100,000 rand a month to do what we do, the way that we do it. But the true cost, when you factor in all the volunteer time and donated resources, etc., actually doubles that to about 200,000 rand a month. In 2020, through the height of the COVID lockdowns, we had our best financial year ever. even though our staff and volunteers have been doing incredible, impactful work, the most incredible work that they've ever done in the project this year, we've constantly been facing the most challenging financial year that we've ever had in the project this year. And so in March this year, myself, Megan, and Nikki, we came up front here and we made an appeal to all of you for some more sustained support for our work. And after that morning, we had an additional 6,500 rand a month that was committed over 12 months, which adds up to 78,000 rand in commitments for the year that we didn't have before, and without which, honestly, the project wouldn't have been able to keep working. So we're really appreciative for that. At the beginning of the year, we the missions team thought that it would be a good idea for me to come and actually share exactly what the Abomeo Butcher Center has been doing with the support that you give. And I'm grateful for Trevor for actually asking me to come and share on that this morning, and also to bring a message. So I'm going to kind of mix it all up this morning instead of having just two separate parts. A common comment that I've actually received this year from many people is some version of, I didn't actually realize that you guys did all of that. So, first, what I would like to do... Sorry, Kieran, can you give me a glass of water? Thanks. Is to bring some clarity into our... This is jumping way ahead, but that's fine. Okay, is to just bring some clarity to the work that we do. Bring you into the stories that of the people that we work with. And first, I'd just like to introduce you to Vuyiswa, standing in the middle over there. Vuyiswa was born in Pedi in 1961, which makes her 61 years old today. She barely saw her parents. Her father worked on the mines up north, and her mother was a living domestic. Thanks. Was a living domestic worker for a family in Grahamstown. She and her brother and sister were raised by their grandmother until the grandmother passed away. Her mother sent the two girls to live with their uncle in KwaZakhele, here in Port Elizabeth. And after a few years, her mother fell ill, lost her job, and had to move back home to Pedi. There was now not enough money to support both siblings staying with the extended family in KwaZakhele. So Vuyiswa, who was the youngest sister, was pulled out of school in standard 6, now grade 8, to go back home to Pedi to look after her sick mother and her two smaller brothers. Then a few years later, Vuyiswa's older but less responsible sister, still in KwaZakhele, fell pregnant and was sent packing back home to Pedi. Vuyiswa was young, but she was in charge of the home and life was difficult. To cut a very long story short, although I'm realizing I haven't cut it that short, her mother eventually passed away, and as everyone grew up and were more able to take care of themselves, Vuyiswa moved back to her uncle's house in Port Elizabeth and looked for work so that she could send money back home to her siblings. She found work as a domestic worker, but her uncle kept demanding more and more money from her for allowing her to live in his house. She eventually decided that she needed to move out, but she had nowhere to go, and she didn't want to spend a lot of her money paying rent. Her employer helped her to gather some wooden sheets and other materials so that she could build herself a shack on an open piece of land, which she did. It wasn't easy without electricity, running water, a toilet, but she was able to send more money home, and she had her own space to live in. She also started buying and selling a variety of items just to make some extra money to make ends meet. But her carefree, careless sister back home in Pedi had another child and was living a very irresponsible life. She had contracted HIV and was sick with AIDS, so Vuyiswa decided to let her sister's children, Zenande and Loratu, come and live with her. As much as Vuyiswa loved children, she didn't have any of her own. And so she was very happy to have Loratu and Zenande come to live with her. Her sister eventually died from a combination of TB and AIDS. Vuyiswa developed diabetes, which progressed very quickly and affected her in many ways, to the point where she actually qualified for a government disability grant. The children are in their older teens now. This is a recent picture for them from this year. and together they survive on a combination of government grants, occasional money sent by Vuyiswa's brothers, and food parcels from the Obomia Butcher Center. Vuyiswa is in phase two of our family focus program, and she has become a bit of a community worker in her own corner in KwaZakhele. And you can ask John and Gerda Stroud sitting over there after the service how they found themselves involved in a situation instigated by Vuyiswa to help a young mother in her corner of KwaZakhele. They probably saved the lives of that mother and her two young children this year. Zenande and Lerato have been active participants in the youth programs at the Obomia Butcher Center over the years and are growing into friendly, diligent, and responsible young adults with great potential. They were both here yesterday as participants in a leadership program that I've been part of this year. But it's just a pity that so many of their hopes and dreams will probably not be realized in their lives just because of the circumstances of their life that they find themselves in. Then, family number two. This one gets messy. Luyanda is a 7-year-old boy. I'm sure many of you can't read that there either, but I just want to sort of show you the scenario that we sometimes work with. Luyanda is a 7-year-old boy who found himself at the center in September last year. After school, his friends told him about programs that were happening at the center. You could get something to eat and play some games and learn some things. So he went and he brought his He brought his other brother eventually to the program, and they were coming every week to one of our youth programs in the afternoons. And then their mother, she tried to figure out, well, where are these children going in the afternoons because they don't come home after school? And that's how she made contact with us at the center. And then we discovered that there was a third little boy in the home, three-year-old Isanda. So Tusiwe is the mother of, what we found out was Tusiwe is actually the mother of these two boys. We converted this through many formats, so we're trying to figure out if it's going to work out properly. So of those two boys, and then Tusiwe has a brother whose name is Kolekile, And he is actually the father of Kayone, right? So these boys are cousins. Tusiwe's boys were fathered by two separate boyfriends over the years. These two boyfriends are dead losses, and they don't support at all. Kayona's mother hooked up with Kolekile a few years ago, and they had Kayone, but unfortunately, Kayona's mother passed away from HIV/AIDS. And so this is the little family unit that we are actually working with, but there's a problem. Because Kolekile is sick. He has HIV, he has TB, and he doesn't have long to live. And he's concerned about his son, because his son doesn't have a birth certificate. He doesn't have an ID. The mother, who's passed away, there's also no ID from the mother at the moment. Just jumping sideways a bit, I'm going to go through very quickly on that. This family is actually related to somebody who worked with us many years ago at the center in our soup kitchen, but she had also passed away. I'm going to jump through just because of time. So we have the situation where we've got this little family unit, a strange family unit, two siblings looking after these children, very poor, and there's death looming in the family. So what happens is that our community support manager gets involved in situations like this. Nonda Miso, some of you have met her. And so she will follow the trail and see what we can do to help. And in following the trail, she finds out that somebody else that we've actually known over the years, Granny Ngokolo, is the distant relative of this little boy, Kayona, that Kolekile wants to organize his birth certificate for so he can qualify for grants so that when he dies, his son has actually got some money coming in to look after him. So Granny Ngokolo, we find out, has actually got three other sisters in the family. Sister number three, we don't know too much about them. We don't have much contact with them, but we do know that she's passed away. And then the sister number one, right, has a daughter who has a boyfriend. They had a child together, but they are the daughter is a drunk, the boyfriend is a drunk, and so they don't really look after the child very well, and the child has been moved by social services to go and live with Granny Ngokolo, who is also a drunk. No ID. Okay, some of the things are not translating. Okay, so then we realize, okay, so now Nonda Miso's job, this is our community support manager, her job is to sort of try and work out the trail of how we can fix the situation in this family. And so there is Granny Ngokolo's second sister had a daughter who had a daughter who had Kayone, but those two mothers have also passed away, and there's no record of any ID books or anything in the home for these two. So the only place where we can actually get help to get the IDs for these people, okay, they all don't have IDs. The only place we can get it is a drunk Granny Ngokolo. And so this is where the work really begins, to work with this old lady, to get things sorted out, to go through the government systems to actually get support for Kayone. Dad Kolekile is very, very worried about his child. He knows that he's lived a very loose and irresponsible life, and he it's too late for him to turn around. And so it just gets very difficult. And you know, and you look at a situation like this sometimes, you think, yeah, what a mess. People really do need to take responsibility for themselves. And I agree. But you know, when two people like Kolekile and Tusile come to you and ask for help, that's exactly what they are doing. And so, as children of God, we should be reaching out to help and assist them. That's where it happens. And so that's where the Obomia Butcher Center gets involved. We work with these two people, and we help to turn the situation around. Kolekile is going to die soon. It's going to happen. But we really just hope that we can actually help the family as a whole to pull things together. Tusiwe is in the phase one section of our family support program this year. Luyanda and Koyana attend our afternoon youth programs, and three-year-old Isanda spends every morning at the center in our EduCare activity at the moment. So these are just two families that we are working with this year on two extremes. Fuyiso's situation is about as simple as and uncomplicated as it gets for us. Tusiwe's situation is about as chaotic and complicated as it gets for us. But in between these two families, we currently are working with another 71 families. So we have 73 families in total in our program. 237 of the people in those families are children, 219 adults, 456 children in total. Our activities, so what do we actually do with all of these families and these people? Every week we run two family-focused workshops, and if you count each time that an adult from a represented home has actually attended a workshop, this year we've had 934 instances where we've been able to build into these people's lives, to build better families, to build many kingdoms of God in their homes, because that's really where the kingdom of God starts. We run an EduCare program, 5 mornings a week. We have 2 reading clubs a week for grade R to grade 1. We run 5 youth groups for different ages during the week that cover life skills, school support, and the Friday group actually do an advanced life skills program for grades 10 to 12. And again, if we count every instance that an individual has participated in one of these programs, this year there have been 5,103 instances where we've been able to build into these children's lives. We give out food parcels 3 times a week. This year it's been 5,845 food parcels. They're not big food parcels. It's just a bag of groceries, really. We've given out clothing parcels 3 times a year, a total of 89 parcels to the families. We distribute furniture, appliances, etc. As we receive it, we give that out, but I haven't gone and counted how many we've actually given out of that. 117 home visits have happened, facilitated 90 sessions of one-to-one counseling. We've referred 5 cases for counseling with a psychologist, and 11 children have been identified with learning disabilities and referred for psychometric testing. So, with your support, that is what we have been doing. We run a family-focused program where we actually focus on cohesion, resilience, and self-sustainability in the families that we work with. And who does all of this work is our staff, that's me, Groot Kop, in the left-hand side. Mark, we have Nanda Miso, who is our community support manager. She actually became very disillusioned with politics in the 90s and couldn't see how politics could help the situation in the community, and she decided to get involved in just straight community work. There's Alma, my wife. We actually took over the project in 2005 together, and she's working with us full-time at the moment as our program manager. And we also have Mabele, who is... Oh, we're jumping ahead there. We have Mabele, who is our operations manager. He's actually a guy who grew up through the project and has always volunteered. He actually runs the Friday afternoon life skills program, and he's been with us for a few years now, full-time as our operations manager. Then we have 4 people that who are a combination of family file managers. They are the people that look after the families that we work with, and they also are facilitators in all of the activities that we run in the afternoons and the mornings and all of that. Sekiwe, Noma, Tozama, and Zameka, each one of them, I can tell you, have got a very difficult story. We also have support staff. Let me just get them all on, I think. Tiki, Tozama, Tibo, and Asipe, that kind of like work at the back. They organize the food parcels, they get the meals cooked, they keep the place clean, and they just, some of them just fill in wherever they can. Oh, and also just look after our food garden for us. So these are the people that you have been supporting to do the work that we do. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What or where is this kingdom of God? In Luke 17, everything's a little bit behind. Luke 17, 20, this is actually the last message that I shared was actually based on the scripture. On being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied that the coming of the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, there it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is in your midst. And we've actually built our logo on this idea as well, where the idea is that people come together and as they work together with the love of Christ, the kingdom of God shines among them. The kingdom of God is not a destination that you can travel to, but it's an experience that you live together. It is something we experience together when we allow the Christ embodied in us to interact with the people and the world around us. In Revelations 6:9, it's a bit of a confusing book, this, yes, but it uses a lot of imagery. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. The kingdom of God is where there is room for everyone. There was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language. Standing before the throne and before the Lamb, they were wearing white robes. It's kind of a strange thing. I think people either think, well, either it's an insane asylum, or you've just been washed in bleach, and everything is shiny. But you know, the book of Revelation is a book of symbols. And that taken with what we read just before that could mean that those white robes are who we are, just refined. Our culture's refined to such a state that they would serve the kingdom of God as they are. And we might be different to each other, but we are still there together in our white robes. Palm branches symbolize victory. In that time in the Eastern Mediterranean, a palm branch was a symbol of victory of the faithful over the enemies of their souls. The kingdom of God is where we all have value and where we all contribute to the well-being of our environment and those around us. But what is our role? She's just going to watch us while I talk. But what is our role in this world as Christians? In a world that is increasingly hostile towards Christians, too many of us have actually become complacent. But I'll tell you what our role is. Our role is, your kingdom come through me. Your will be done through me. What are we called to? We are called to be disciples and to make disciples of Jesus. A disciple is not a believer, but a follower or an imitator. So a disciple of Jesus is an imitator of Jesus. And remember that faith is not a measure of how strongly you believe something, but a measure of how you put into practice what you believe. For even the Son of Man has come not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's in Mark. And in Luke, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I'll tell you again what our role is. Our role is, your kingdom come through me. Your will be done through me. if we are to be imitators of Jesus, I have a question for you. Was Jesus a pacifist? I don't think so. Jesus was a man of peace. Jesus was the opposite of a pacifist. He was an activist. He engaged and he confronted the world around him. But Jesus never went looking for a fight, like some of us sometimes do. When he confronted the powers that be, it was always because they noticed what he was doing, and what he was doing was exposing their shortcomings. And so they attacked him for it. Jesus may have addressed the masses, but he was always concerned with the individuals. In South Africa, things are a mess. There's not much room out there for the kingdom of God at the moment. We're in trouble. We, as Christians, often remain far too reactive to the troubles around us. So I want to tell you again what our role is. Our role is, your kingdom come through me. Your will be done through me. Jesus has called us and he's relying on you. It's up to you to choose either just wait for the end to come or to choose to get on with making the kingdom of God manifest where you are, in your family, in your community, or in our country. Your kingdom come through me. Your will be done through me. The time for the church to get up and take the lead in building our society is long overdue. Either we do it, or the politicians will do it, or the loudmouths will do it, or the recruiters of other philosophies and religions will do it. So let's step out together and build the kingdom. Not by imposing our religious rules or ways of doing things onto others. Let's do it the way Jesus did it, by calling out what is wrong and by serving those around us. Your kingdom come through me. Your will be done through me. On your seats, you will find that there's a little booklet over there. We just spread them out in the church this morning. It just gives a good summary of the work that we actually do out at the Abomio Butcher Center. And if you'd like to work with us in any way, we like to ask people to commit to a year of whatever it is that they choose to work at. You can make what we do out in KwaZakhele at the Abomio Butcher Center what you do out at KwaZakhele at the Abomio Butcher Center. It could be a focal point for you where you could actually get involved and build kingdom. The center has changed up a gear over the past few years and really does need support. You can judge for yourself if this project is worthy of your partnership and support or not. And if you think it is, then we ask you to commit to those 1 year to 12 months of proactive and deliberate support in whatever way you choose. It's not only about the money, but the bottom line is that we do need funding. There are other ways that you can support as well. You can help us to share our story. You can help open doors to more secure and regular food supply. You can send us your old clothing. You can find or create opportunities where we can share the center's work and possibly broaden the support base that we have. If you do opt for funding, you can introduce us. You can maybe introduce us to your employer's CSR department. If you choose to support financially, personally. Inside the booklet, there are 5 commitment forms. We're not chasing you for money. I always get berated by our board and our support team. Mark, you're not forceful enough in asking for money. We want support. And if you'd like to sign up to support us and to be part of what we do, fill out the form. You can send it back to me. But my challenge is to do more than just that. There's 5 forms in there, one for you. And the challenge would be to find 5 other people to give whatever you are giving as well. If you're fortunate enough to be able to support 250 Rand a month, you think, oh, that's not too much. That works out to 1,250 Rand a year. And if you're able to get another 4 people to do that, it works out to 15,000 Rand a year that you could raise for the work we do. That'll help cover some of our budget. The booklet is there. The idea of the booklet is there for you to hold in your hands as a physical connection that you can point to and say, I'm going to make this mine for the next 12 months. So anyway, the real idea this morning was to really just come and share with you what we've been doing out at the center. Combination of stories and numbers, I hope, gives you a bit of an insight into what your support has been doing for us. And I just want to thank you very much. You know, I know what it's like sometimes you hear these stories about things that are happening far away. But your giving, your contribution makes an immense difference. You know, I've told you two stories. There's another 71 stories, plus 12 staff that I can tell you stories of. Very, very, very difficult. And I can tell you how appreciative they are. I remember somebody, we gave somebody something a little while ago, and she broke down in tears. She was sobbing with her children. And she says, somebody who doesn't even know me loves me. That's the love of God. That's coming together, allowing the kingdom to work out through us.